Lord, we thank you, God, that we can choose joy because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for the victory over sin and death, the victory over mourning, over depression, over all the schemes of the enemy, that you have the victory, and so we have the victory in you and through you, Christ Jesus. And we are a people who choose to walk in that victory and that reality, that we truly are the redeemed of the Lord. And we will choose joy over mourning this day and every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Every single morning, your mercies are new. And we choose to walk in your mercy and in your joy and in victory. Thank you, God, that we can do that. Thank you for the gift. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we all say amen. 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 Well, let's begin this morning with some statements from some great visionaries. In 1859, Edwin L. Drake tried to enlist some drillers to help with his proposal to drill for oil. But they said to him, "Drill for oil? You mean drill into the ground and try to find oil? You're crazy." In 1899, Charles Duell, the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office, said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." In 1927, H.M. Warner of Warner Brothers said this about adding sound to movies. Who wants to hear actors talk? And I will tell you, I think he's right. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, said this in 1943. "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." In 1962, a representative of Decca Recording Company rejected the Beatles, saying, "We don't like their sound, and Jake, check this out now, and guitar music is on the way out." Finally, let me just say, in 1981, Bill Gates had this to say about the amount of memory needed in computers. He said, "640K, that ought to be enough for anybody." Here's the deal. I remember the good old days when I had a computer with 640K. I remember when I had 2 floppy disks. I mean, the real floppies, you know, the kind 5 1/4 inch. And I can say that today I've got a 500 gigabyte hard drive in my laptop portable computer. That's 500 million K. Anyway, predicting the future, it's almost impossible. It's interesting that we had a word from the Lord about that, about the future, about being able to predict the future. There are some things we can predict. Jesus is coming back, and those of us in Christ Jesus will spend eternity with him, and it's going to be beautiful and marvelous. But predicting the future here on this earth, man, it's almost impossible. But preparing for the future is indispensable. I actually like what former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm said. When she said, "Sometimes leadership is planting trees under whose shade you'll never sit." So as we turn our attention back to our series, and this is the final week, but it's the final week of our series, Live Like a King, Lessons from the Life of King David. And when we turn our attention back to David this morning, we see and we witness that David was doing just that in his latter years. He was planting a tree under whose shade he will never sit. What I'm referring to are the elaborate preparations that King David made for the temple that he was not allowed to ultimately build or use. The title of today's message is, Be a Builder. Be a builder. And we learn from King David, and we witness in King David's life, that he had a heart of a builder. And he had a deep desire to leave a legacy. We remember that David was anointed. Remember that first week of the series? We talked about be anointed. David was anointed, meaning that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. We were encouraged that we who are in Christ Jesus, we can be anointed, and we are anointed if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His presence and with power. So David, that man who was anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, he had a passion for the Lord. He had a passion for worshiping God. A heart that was on fire for the Lord, for His presence, for His plans. He had a passion for God. And this passion resulted in David having a deep desire to see the house of God and the kingdom of God built up. First place I want to look at in God's Word is 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It says, now when the king lived in his house, it's talking about King David. When David had lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar. He's saying, Nathan, I'm living in a palace. I mean, this is a huge, amazing house that I am living in, that I'm blessed to live in. But look over there. The ark of God dwells in a tent. David was experiencing some good old-fashioned conviction from the Holy Spirit. He was convicted that he'd selfishly spent his wealth on things that exalted himself rather than on that which would exalt God and advance His kingdom. And this was not the legacy that David wanted to leave. See, archaeologists often say that man is best described by what he leaves behind. So in 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29, that's where we're going to be the rest of this morning. 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. Near the end of his life, we witness what King David has chosen to leave behind. So let's go to 1 Chronicles 28 and let's look at verse 2. Then King David rose to his feet and he said, hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for the building. Before we continue, I want to say a few things. Lay a little more groundwork before we continue jumping into this message here. That on the surface, the legacy that King David was building, the legacy that he was leaving behind, appears to simply be a very large and ornate church building. But in fact, what David was wanting to leave behind and what he did leave behind was so much more than just a building. David was showing his son, he was showing Solomon, he was showing future generations, he was showing the entire nation of Israel what was important. He was leaving a legacy of exalting God and not man. David was leaving a legacy of kingdom focus, of God focus, rather than man focus. He was pointing the entire nation of Israel to God. He was leaving a legacy of worship and praise. He was leaving a legacy of seeking God's presence. This is what the temple was designed for the presence of God and for the people of God to be able to come together and enjoy His presence, to praise, to worship, to intercede. Because God is worthy of it all. You see, the temple that David was inspired by the Lord to leave behind represented David's heart for God. It was his heart for God that he wanted to leave behind with the people of Israel, with his son, and with future generations. And so we see in 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, King David was laying the foundation of a great legacy. And so I want to look at three things that David did. How did David, having this heart of a builder, how did he leave this God-honoring legacy? We're going to look at three things. The first thing that King David did was he planned for it. The second thing that he did was he provided for it. And the third thing that David did was he prayed for it. So let's jump into number one. How did David leave this God-honoring legacy? He planned for it. David was moved by God to leave a legacy, but he didn't just think happy thoughts about it. I know often God puts something in our hearts to do. He puts a burden in our hearts to see something happen, to see Him glorified in some way. I hear it often. Oh, Pastor Eric, we need to do this. This would be great. The church needs to be involved in this. And in doing that, you're thinking, I'm handing off the baton. God has spoken to me, and I'm giving it to you, Pastor. Now, you make it happen. And I'm just going to think happy thoughts about it and hope that it actually happens. You see, King David was moved by God. He had a conviction in his heart. He had a deep desire welling up within him to make sure that his heart for God would be passed on to future generations, to make sure that God would be exalted in the nation of Israel for generation upon generation upon generation. And so he went beyond just thinking happy thoughts. Oh, wouldn't that be neat? This is what really needs to happen. I hope it happens. He went beyond that and he began to plan and to prepare for it. In fact, David himself supervised over all the details and all of the plans. All the planning of the temple, David was involved in every single aspect. How? I mean, this guy, look at his past. Was he ever an architect? Was he ever a builder? Were these his specialties? How was David able to do this? Because it's very simple. God put it on David's heart to do this. And so David, instead of punting and hoping somebody else catches the ball and runs with it, David said, no, God gave me this burden, and so I'm going to say yes to it, and I'm going to take the ball and run with it. And what did God do when David said yes to God's plans? God gave David, through the anointing, through the fullness of the Holy Spirit, God gave David everything he needed to accomplish these plans, to put it together, to be the architect. He gave him everything that he needed. He gave him the skills, the insight, and the resources to accomplish the plan that God had birthed in his spirit. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 28, verses 11 through 13. 1 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse 11. Then David gave Solomon, his son, the plan. Now, this goes on and on and on. I want to read some of it, though, because you're going to get to see how elaborate this plan was that David had received from the Lord and had put together. Okay, this is the shepherd boy. This is the guy who was a warrior. He was good in battle. He was good with sheep. He was good in battle. He was good musically. But God was taking him to a whole nother place with a whole nother anointing because David said yes to God. So David gave Solomon, his son, these plans. He gave him the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat. And he gave him the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts, for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, and all the work of the service in the house of the Lord, for all the vessels for the service in the house of the Lord. It continues. It goes on and on in detail, 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 detail. Everything that God had given David and given him the ability to receive this vision and then to put it down on paper so that it was planned out and ready to be executed. And in verse 19, it's summed up this way. All this he made clear to me in writing from the hand of the Lord, all the work to be done according to the plan. See, David had received a vision from the Lord, and he saw what he needed to do, and he took action. Didn't just think happy thoughts about it. I'm sure he thought of a lot of happy thoughts. I'm sure he was like so excited. But he went beyond the excitement and the happy thoughts. He took action. He planned for it. So I have a few questions for us. After this first point here, are we simply hoping that we leave a God-honoring legacy? Or are we taking action? Are we seeking the Lord? And by His grace, David was working out of the anointing, out of the moving of God in his life and through his life. Are we, in that same way, are we planning for it? You know the saying. People don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. And so then they fail to accomplish anything, including the things that God wants to do in them and through them. Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying that we've got to be a bunch of busybodies. A bunch of busy bees running around just doing things just to be doing things and hoping that we're doing the right things for God. No, I'm talking about when the Lord puts something in your heart, when He births something in your spirit and you know it's from the Lord. I'm talking about taking action on that thing that God has deposited in you. Taking action on it. God has given you that thing. He's birthed that thing in your spirit for a reason. Not to keep it to yourself, not to keep it inside, but to let it flow out of you, to let it give birth to that thing that God has placed in you. Ladies, you who have had children, you know that there's a point you got to take action. I couldn't imagine. Anyway. So the first thing that we see David doing at the end of his life, as the Lord is birthed in his spirit to build and to leave this God-honoring legacy, the first thing that we see is, number one, he planned for it. The second thing we see David doing is that he provided for it. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 now, first five verses. 29, beginning in verse 1. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. David continues and he says, so I have provided for the house of my God as far as I was able. As far as I was able, I provided the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasury of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of my Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? So the Lord birthed this in the heart of King David to leave this God-honoring legacy. And remember, it's not just a building. The building represents passing on his passion for the Lord, passing on the desire for the presence of God, the heart of God. That's what the building represents. So he planned for it, and then he provided for it. He generously gave all that was needed. It came through David and those who caught the vision and joined in on this project. You could say that David put his money where his heart was. His heart was for the Lord. His heart was for the presence of God, for the people of God to experience the presence of God, to glorify God. His desire is that the people of God would come together and lifting up holy hands, worshiping Him and praising Him. And so David put his money where his heart was. His heart was for the Lord, and so was his bank account. Continued to build the house of God. He set aside the other things he could have spent his riches on. He could have had more chariots, more vacations, another vacation home, another kingly wardrobe, added another story to the palace. But instead, he directed the resources that God had given him to build and to leave this legacy. When I thought about this, I thought how awesome it is that God will give us a vision, and it will often be a vision that we know we can't accomplish in our flesh. It'll often be a vision that is beyond us. But when God gives us a vision, He follows it up by giving us the provision. And if Pastor Emmanuel were saying that word right now, he would say, provision. Provision. You hear he gives a provision. Oh, Lord, you're good. And David finally recognized in his life that the provision that God had given him was for eternal things, and that he could use it for things that would last forever, that would glorify God. Like David, many right here at Evident Life Church have been called to be builders. In fact, you've already done that. You've given to build churches and a Christian school in Ghana, Africa. It's pretty humbling. It's truly amazing. You've helped build these churches, even though most of you will never sit under their shade. Most of you will never worship there and experience the presence of God in those buildings and in those places. Yet you've given to leave a legacy, a kingdom building, God honoring legacy. You've given to build places for the people of God to be able to come together and worship and glorify the Lord so that God will then move in their midst. I got to tell you just about a few of the things that are happening in those houses that you've built in Africa, that you've invested in. They're worshiping God in spirit and truth in those places. The name of Jesus is being exalted in extravagant, amazing ways. They're dancing before the Lord. They have a place to come together, and they're using it, and they're coming together, and they're dancing, and they're shouting, and they're praising the name of Jesus. In fact, sometimes it's so amazing. I know the first time that we were there as a family, we're in a worship gathering, an all-nighter. And I mean, they're using it sometimes all night. And we're in an all-night meeting. It's about 2 a.m. And they go into another time of worship, and the young men are dancing around, and they're doing that African dance, and Jake is really good at it, actually. Maybe he'll do that for you sometime. And I mean, they're dancing, and they're praising God, and they're doing kind of their line dance, African style, to glorify God. And it's just crazy worship that's happening in this place. And a cloud begins to develop in the upper part of the ceiling in this building. And Velvet says, Eric, do you see that? And do you smell that? This is the kind of thing that happens. This is what David had in his heart for the people of God to be experiencing. This is the whole idea of the temple. It wasn't just a building to say, God, my God's bigger than your God. It's happening. Because you have the heart of a builder. And you're investing in leaving a legacy. And God is being glorified. And our brothers and sisters on the other side of the globe are having an opportunity to come together and worship Him. And they're able to worship in their own village. They don't have to get on a bike or just whatever shoes they may or may not have and walk or ride 6 miles to get to the church. No, we put a church in the village of Oahu. And that sound guy that had the Spirit of God and that gift of preaching and bringing the Word of God, his name is David. Just so happens to be David. Who was faithfully serving the Lord as a sound man, is now the pastor of that church in Oahu, using the gifts that God has planted in him, and the Lord is being glorified. Miracles are happening. We've told the story. We saw a lame man walk. So many people that I've been blessed to pray for over there that have walked away healed. The Word of God is preached in a land that's historically been filled and controlled by animism, by idol worship. The light of Jesus Christ is coming into that dark land, and His name is being glorified, not whatever idol names. In fact, the last time we were there, we're going to show Tracy, who's there for the first time, all of these idols on the side of the road. They're disappearing. The idols are disappearing. This is what is happening. It's made possible because people decided to give, having the heart of a builder like David, leaving a legacy that glorifies God. It's just hearing the heart of God and then taking action on it. And God takes it from there. And miracles begin to happen. Builders, those who desire to leave a legacy, they put their money where their heart is. And they fund the kingdom. Of course, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I know where the heart of this church is. I've been there 3 times over to Africa. I've seen the heart of this church in action. It's not just a happy thought. It's not just a fancy saying that we have on our website. I've seen it in action. Whole villages being transformed. It's incredible. Out of this church right here, this body. David's heart was to build the house of God and to leave a kingdom of God legacy. So he provided. And I can just say, let's continue to invest our resources, our time, our money, our talents, all that God has given us, those things that he has given us, into God's plans, things that advance the kingdom and lift up the name of Jesus. Let's keep doing it. See, I don't have to stir up something that isn't already happening. This is already happening. We already have God's heart, and we've already taken action on it. Let's keep doing it. The third thing that David did, the third thing, because of his heart to be a builder and his desire to leave a God-honoring legacy, number one, he planned for it. Number two, he provided for it. And number three, he prayed for it. David had God's heart because he prayed. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. I'd like to focus on the end of David's prayer. He's praying for this legacy to happen. He's praying for this building to become a reality. He's praying for the future generations to get it, to get that heart for God, and to chase after His presence. And he says, beginning in verse 18, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the heart of your people. He's talking about the things that would happen in the temple. Keep those things. Make sure that they happen, God. And he's saying, and direct their hearts. Direct the heart of Israel. Direct my son's heart. Direct the future generation's hearts. Direct their heart toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commands, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. He's talking about the temple, the house of God, the place where the Lord would dwell, where the people of God would come and experience his presence. See, the heart of David was to leave a legacy, and so he prayed that the next generation would get it. That they would catch the vision. That they would understand what was really happening here. Not just a building, not just stones and bricks and mortars, but that they would catch God's heart in what really was going on here. And so he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He planned, he provided, and he prayed. And I see in this passage just that picture of what God wants us to do even now as the people of God who have his heart. The people whose hearts are fully his. The men and women after God's own heart. What he would have us to do as we live like a king, as we live like David. He would have us plan, provide, and pray for the next generation that is following us. So that when they arrive, they can then build upon the foundation that we've already laid. We live in a society right now that's completely opposite of what King David was doing. We live in a society where everybody wants it and they want it now. What's in it for me right now? We unfortunately live in a nation that was founded on these principles that we're reading about. Of laying a foundation, a God-honoring foundation for future generations. But as a nation, we've abandoned it. As a church, we cannot. We have got to remain true to God's heart and God's ways. And we've got to be builders like King David. We've got to be people who are leaving a legacy that honors God so that our future generations will come behind us and build upon that. And the name of the Lord will be glorified. And the people of God will experience His presence and be filled with that anointing and walk in that anointing and walk in that anointing and walk in that anointing. That's the hope of the next generation. That's the hope of our nation. That's the hope of the world. world is that the people of God would catch the heart of King David and chase after the presence of God, chase after kingdom things and not things of the flesh. You see, David, he got it. He wanted to end strong. He'd already been on the rooftop of his pleasure. He'd been there, done that. He saw how broken that was. He had committed himself to get back on the battlefield of God's pleasure and to leave a legacy that would honor God. To invest everything that he had left in him to glorify God, to lift up his name, and to provide a future, a legacy for the people of God to be able to enter into the presence of God. Because he had experienced it. He'd tasted, he'd seen that God is good, and he wanted to make sure his son did the same. And that his son, and his son, and his son, and his son would taste and see that God is good, and there's nothing like being in his presence. One day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. We sang about that this morning. David knew that truth. And so he had the heart of a builder, and he was committed to leave a legacy, and that would be his legacy. We can be builders. We can leave this kind of a legacy. First thing is, we got to be the real deal. We got to be people like King David who love God more than anything else, who chase after him, who go after him with our everything. We sang about that also this morning. Isn't God great the way he just weaves everything together and just put, we were declaring that earlier, with everything, that's who David was. And that's the legacy that he wanted to leave. And we can do that. Men, you've got to be the real deal with your wife and your children. Be the real deal. Your kids are watching what legacy you're going to leave. Women, same thing. Your kids are watching. Leave that legacy of being a God chaser, being in love with Him, submitted to Him, filled with His joy, being about His business. Kids, you can already start building that foundation of what legacy you're going to leave. You can begin to build that foundation, and your peers, your friends will see that. And they'll have something to stand on and build on. We got to be about our Father's business. Love Him with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our strength. I want to show this movie clip. Some of you are familiar with the movie Schindler's List. This is a child-friendly scene from it. But I want you to watch this scene as we're closing out this message.
Hebrew from the Talmud. It says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. For this, I could have gone one more person, and I didn't. And I didn't.
We have the opportunity to leave a legacy. To change lives of future generations. To leave a legacy where the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up. What legacy are you leaving behind? But I think even a better question for you today, since we're not going to look back, but look forward, is what legacy do you want to leave behind? We can end life with no regrets. We can come into agreement with God's plans, with His heart. We can live with no regrets. That thing that the Lord has put in your spirit, that legacy that He has put in your spirit that He's calling you to birth and leave behind. Let's take action on that. Let's plan for it. Let's provide for it and let's pray for it. Let's not just hope that somehow it works out. Let's trust that if God has given us the vision, if God has given us the vision to leave a legacy with our children and that they're going to take it to a whole nother level, if God has given us a vision that we're going to actually reach our community and that people's lives are going to be saved and changed and that Jesus Christ will be glorified here in our community, if God has given us a vision and put it deep within us that we will see revival in our land, then let's not just, oh, well, that sounds great, but I hope that happens. Let's believe that if God has birthed that within us, If God's given us that vision, that He will give us the provision, and then let's step out in faith, trusting that God will provide for all of our needs as we walk out that vision that He's given us. And we will see His name exalted. And we will see our future generations loving His presence, chasing after Him, and being called men and women who are after His heart. It doesn't have to just be some kind of worldly hope and prayer. If God says it, if that's His desire, if that's His purpose, then we can stand on it. We can grab hold of it and we can confidently walk it out. But we've got to grab it and say yes to it and then walk it out. Let's plan, let's provide. And yes, definitely, let's pray. Would you stand with me?